So, I said we should open to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 28 verses 18 into 20. It says, "And Jesus came to them and spoke, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, go therefore and make disciples." "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and make disciples of all nations, say, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Say, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age." Hallelujah. It says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. You know, in that Matthew 28, look at verse 19. It says, "Go ye therefore." And in verse 18, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." You know, I've often told that the word heaven and on earth, once you hear the word heaven on earth, what comes to mind is what? Moses, right? The tabernacle, right? So heaven and earth will mean heaven and earth in one place. You understand me? Heaven and earth in one place. And that will be the church in the earth. Do you understand me? The church in the earth. The believer walk and his work in the earth. Hallelujah. Now, he now said, all authority has been given to you. Now said, therefore, go make disciples. It's, do you understand? He said, that authority, the authority of Christ, is expressed in raising disciples. He says, therefore, go make disciples. Now, the next thing he says after all authority has been given to me tells you what the authority is meant for. The authority is meant for raising disciples. Do you see that? The authority of Christ is to raise disciples. Hallelujah. The word disciple is a word you'll find in Matthew chapter 13. Verse 52. Let's look at Matthew 13, 52, okay? Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. Or before we look at Matthew 13, 52, I'll look at that. We'll look at it together. Look at Matthew 27, just a chapter before we were. Matthew 27, verse 57. Matthew 27, verse 57. Are you there? It says, "Now, when the evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself was become a disciple of Jesus." Now, the word disciple is the Greek word matitio. Matitio. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. Matitio. Matitio. Is the word that implies to be schooled, or the word that implies how one, not to be schooled, how one is schooled, rather, how one is schooled or taught as a pupil, how one is schooled or taught as a pupil to be a scholar. Did you get that? How one is taught as a pupil to be a scholar. It is some another word, or this is a verb. Do you understand? It is an active word. Matitio is an active word. It's an active word. Now, the noun of matitio is the word matitis. Matitis. Matitis is one who learns. Do you understand? And now, the learning is by precept and by examples. Do you understand? The learning is by precept and examples. So, we've been able to see what matitio is. How one is schooled from being a pupil to becoming a scholar. Do you understand how one is schooled? Now, we'll find that word matitio as a verb. I said that earlier. Do you understand? We'll find that word matitio as a verb. Meaning, it's an active word. It's an active word. It's an active word to show what a believer should be found doing. To Jesus, and it's an active word to show what a believer should be found doing. He said, go ye therefore and make disciples, Matthew. Do you understand me? So a believer should be found doing discipleship. Right? Now let's look at that word. It shows what a believer should be found doing. What should a believer be found doing? One, discipling men. Get that? A believer should be found discipling men and being discipled. Do you understand? Now, remember Jesus is speaking to the 12. To the 11. Do you understand? And he tells them, go make disciples. Do you understand? He tells them, go make disciples. Meaning, the people that they are going to make, or the people that they are going to encounter, they are going to be their disciples, right? Now, that same words of Christ to the 11 will still apply to those set of people that are now disciples, to make disciples. You understand that? So that shows that, you know, it's something that is ongoing. So those ones have been discipled while they are making disciples. We'll look at that shortly. Do you understand? Those ones have been schooled. Those ones have been discipled to make disciples. So a believer should be found being discipled and discipling men. Do you understand that? Very important. A believer should be found being discipled and discipling men. Hallelujah. You find the word Matthew in Matthew 14:21. It is used passively to mean instruct in Matthew 13:52. To instruct in Matthew 13:52. The word Matthew is from a Greek word metano. Metano. Metano means one who, or it's used for one who learns. Metano. It's used for someone who's learning. Who learns. So very important. The primary obligation of a believer is to disciple men and to be discipled. To disciple men and to be discipled. Remember, we said the authority of Christ is exercised in raising disciples. Tell us that. We said that just now. Is exercised in raising disciples. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what do you think this is? Remember, where will the men be raised? In the church, in the local assembly, right? Right? In the local assembly. That means local assembly is a place where disciples are being raised. That's the reason for the local assembly, where disciples are being raised. We're going to look at that all day shortly. Where disciples are being raised. In verse 20, Jesus now tells us how this discipleship or how disciples should be raised. He gave a very vital way a disciple should be raised. Look at that verse 20 of Matthew 28. It says, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You understand? He said, teaching them. That word teaching them is the word didasko. 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 It's the word that implies to instruct. That word didasko. It's the word that implies to instruct. It implies the act of teaching. You understand? The act of teaching. Again, this word is active, teaching them. Meaning, in raising disciples, teaching is very important. Do you understand me? Teaching them. The word didasko you find in Matthew 4:23, Matthew 5:2, Matthew 5:19, Matthew 7:29, Matthew 9:20, Matthew 9:3, Matthew 22:16. The word instruct. Look at that Matthew 5 2. It says, taught, Jesus taught. Matthew 5 2. Used to show how what Jesus did in Mount Holy. Verse 2. Verse 2 says, and he opened his mouth and taught them saying. Did you see? Every time he's used, it is active and taught them saying. Look at that verse 19. He taught them saying. Verse 19 will be, whosoever or whoever therefore breaks one of the least of this commandment and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. This is the word teach, active. You understand? Whoever does it. So the word didasco is used to show one's activity. You understand? One's activity in explaining the scriptures. You understand? One's activity in explaining the scriptures. You find Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. It said, 1 Timothy 2 2. It said, the word which we've learned from, let's go to 1 Timothy 2 2. We're going to be very active in opening our scriptures. The scriptures. That's it, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 2. 2 Timothy 2 2. Sorry. 2 Timothy 2 2. It says, and the things which you've heard from me amongst many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who therefore must endure. Sorry. It says, and the things which you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Did you see that? Who will be able to teach? Do you understand? So it comes in active. Who will be able to teach? In First Timothy 2:12, 1 Timothy 2:12 uses the same word again. When he said, when he's talking about a woman and the husband, he says, and he uses the word teach also. You understand? Teach. This is the word teach. If you look at chapter 4, verse 11, chapter 4, verse 11, Paul tells Timothy in verse 6, for us, he says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the doctrine which you have carefully followed. Look at verse 11. In answer, or verse 7, he said, reject profane and all by fables, and exercise yourself rather to godliness. For godliness is profitable to godliness, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life and that now is, and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of acceptance, of all acceptance, rather. For to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those who believe. Verse 11 says, these things command and teach. You see that? These things command and teach. Meaning, the teaching is still, the word didasco is active. Do you understand that? It's active. In Titus, let's really look at Titus quickly. In Titus 1, verse 11. Titus 1, 11. This is something, let's look at verses 9 to 11. It says, holding fast, it gives the quality of an elder. In verse 8, from verse 7, of a bishop, rather. Now, look at verses 9. It says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Do you understand? As he has been taught. That he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. for there are many insubordinate with both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Verse 11, it says, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole household, teaching things which they ought not to. Jonathan uses it right here in the negative. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Which they ought not to. So the word teaching comes in again, active. So the didasco is active. Do you understand me? The didasco is active. Active explaining. Active instructions. Do you understand me? So we say the didasco implies to give instruction. Do you understand? The act of instructing, the act of teaching, the act of explaining. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With the word didasco, we have words that are associated to didasco. Hallelujah. We have words like didaskalia. Didaskalia. We have didache. Let's look at didaskalia. Well, I'm going to dwell with didaskalia. Didache will mean a mode of explaining, the way in which what is explained is explained. Do you understand? But look at the word didaskalia. It's a word that implies what is being explained. Do you understand? Explanation in itself. What is being explained. Do you understand? It implies a teaching. In the book of Romans, it is used as learning. Say the things that are written are for, but written for our learning, for our explanation, for our learning. Do you understand? So, you know, it has to do with what is being taught. Associated with the word didaskalia is the person who carries out didaskalia is called a didaskalos. Hallelujah. Very important. Okay, let's move a bit higher. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 quickly. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. It says, I'm from childhood. Make sure you're there. I'm from childhood. And from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Grammar. He said, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that's verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All graphe. When it talks about all graphe, not talking about all writings, no, it talks about, you remember the word all refers to what? Read it in context. Do you understand me? All words that have salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He said they are given for what? Doctrine. The word doctrine there is the word didaskalia. Given for teaching, explanation. Do you understand me? Are giving for explanation. For reproof. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let's look at that word for. Giving for. That word for. That word for is the word pros. Do you understand me? Pros. When you use the word pros, you know, the same word for in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, it's called Eis, E-I-S. Eis. Now, if you look at the word pros, pros has to do with the goal. Just like saying, this is the goal for this. This is the end point for this. Do you understand? This is done towards, or this is done to bring about this. Do you understand? So when he said, in verse 16, say all scripture is profitable for doctrine, meaning the scriptures are written to be explained. Do you understand? They are written to be taught. Now, teaching will bring about what? Correction. Do you understand? Correction, reproof, instruction in righteousness. So we can now say, you know, the way Paul writes, I explained this in one of our teachings. I said, the way Paul writes in what you call shorthand. Do you understand? Shorthand. So Paul breaks it down. This produces this. So you could now say, Paul, or you could now say, all scripture is profitable for doctrine, right? Doctrine bring forth instruction in righteousness. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? So what Paul is saying, what Paul shows us is that the goal of teaching, the goal of teaching the scriptures is for instruction in righteousness. Then verse 17 is very important, it's very key in our study. It says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It becomes very important in our study into chapter 4, verse 1. Say, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at the appearing, at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, listen. I said the goal of teaching is instruction in righteousness, right? To the end that the one who is being taught may be furnished for good work. You know that? To the end that what the one who is being taught is furnished for good works. So, what does Paul now do in verse 16? Paul now breaks for us what the essence of teaching is. You understand? He tells us what the essence of teaching is in that verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. The essence of teaching, he said, is for correction. For reproof. This is the word reproof. He used the word electros. E-L-E-G-C-H-O-S. Electros. Now, almost to. I need to listen to me now. And he said, all scripture is given by the Spirit of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, right? Now, that's the word electros. It's from the root word. It's just an alphabet difference from the root word electro. 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 Remove the S. Now, the word electro implies this. The word electro implies to bring to light by the word. To bring something to light by the word. It implies to admonish, to reprove. To admonish, to reprove. It implies also to call to one, or to call to account one's fault. To call to account one's fault. Let's see how that word electro is used. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. Not electros, electro. 1 Timothy 5, 20. It says, 1 Timothy 5, 20, are you with me? It says, those who are sinning, it's a rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. Did you see that? It said, those who are sinning, it says, rebuke. You understand? Now, that word rebuke is the word electro, correct, or admonish, reprove, call to account, rebuke. Do you understand? You find the same word again in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Paul uses the same word. He says, preach the word. We just read it now. He said, be instant in season and out of season. He said, reprove, rebuke, exalt with all long suffering and doctrine. Did you see that? He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove. That is the word. Reprove. Reprove. Electro. So, you know, what Paul is saying is that via teaching, via teaching, you reprove. Do you understand me? You reprove. Very important. You correct. You reprove. You admonish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another word you would find is another similar word to electro or reprove, is a very similar word, is rebuke. The similar word rebuke, very similar word rebuke, is the word epitimao. Epitimao, it means to forbid. To forbid. It implies to give an instruction. To forbid. To give an instruction. To stop. To stop an action. You rebuke. You understand? To stop an action. You use to stop an action. Rebuke. Epitimao. You find it in Timothy, I mean Timothy, Titus 1:9. You know, very similar, because you know Paul used it in that 2 Timothy 4:2 where we read. He said, preach the gospel the instant in season and out of season, say reprove, rebuke. You know that? So, you know, in the teaching of the word, you find you will find rebuke for wrongdoings. Do you understand? You find rebuke for wrongdoings. For walk in the flesh. For the walk in the flesh. You find a rebuke. Do you understand? You find a rebuke. So, you find that also. You find that in Titus 1:9. It says, holding fast the faithful word that ye have been taught, that ye might be able by sound doctrine both to exalt and convince. That is the word, convince, epitimao, convince. Oh, sorry. The word convince here is the word electro. Sorry, it's the word electro. Titus 1:9, it's the word electro. So, by sound doctrine, both to exalt and to convince. That is, now the word convince is to bring to light by explaining. Do you understand? The gainsayers. Do you understand that? To bring to light the gainsayers. You find that word electro in Titus 1:13. Titus 1:13. Let's all go to Titus 1:13. Titus 1:13. Titus 1:13. It says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord. Sorry. I'm reading Titus 2. Titus 1:13. Right? Titus 1:13. It says, this testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply. Did you see that? Rebuke them sharply. Let's go back to verse 12. Verse 11, where's verse 11? It says, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole household, teaching things that they ought not. He says, one of them, a prophet of their own, said, one of their own said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, we say, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith. You see that? That they may be sound in faith. Is the word rebuke there is the word electro. Can you understand? Correct them sharply. Hallelujah. You find the same one too in chapter 2, verse 15. You find this one in chapter 15. I mean chapter 2, 15. Also, you find it too in Hebrews 12, verse 5. Ephesians 5, 11 and 13. In the 2. You find it in Matthew 18, verse 15. To tell one is fault. Matthew 18, 15. First Corinthians 14:24. Now, here's what I wrote. Here's the thing. I said, so in teaching or discipling or in discipleship, you find reproof. You find reproof, a call for account. That word electrodes is used apart from electrode, which is in the one that has the S. No, I just what we'll be reading is electrode. Now, electrodes. Apart from Timothy, apart from 2 Timothy 3:16, you find it in Hebrews 11 verse 1. Hebrews 11 1. Say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence.
Yes,
the evidence. Assurance of things not seen. That word evidence is the word electrodes. Do you understand? Electrodes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Another word, let's go back to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, as we said. It says, everything for doctrine, for reproof. Another word is for correction.
You understand?
Correction. The goal of teaching is correction. Meaning you find correction in teaching. That word correction is the word epatonosis. E-P-A-N-O-R-T-H-O-I-S. I mean S-I-S. E-P-A-N-O-R-T-H-O-S-I-S. Epatonosis. Epanotosis. Sorry for that. Now, it's a compound word of epi and anato. The compound word of epi and anorto, A-N-O-R-T-H-O. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me know if I've left us. Hallelujah. Who to go? Am I too fast? I'm not fast, right? Okay. Now the word anorto, which is where we get the word epanotosis from. It is the word that means to make straight. It's the word that means to make straight. It means to make straight. You find that word in Luke 13:13. It says, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. That word made straight is the word atonum, and anoto, rather, anoto. In Acts 15, verse 16, let's flip there. Everybody, we are going together. Acts 15, verse 16. Acts 15:16, are you with me? He said, let me start from verse 14. See, Simon has declared how God visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophet agree, just as it is written, after this, I will return again, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will rebuild its rooms, and I will set it up. Now what set it up is the word to make straight.
You understand?
That applies to make straight, to put it normal, or to get it in its right position.
You understand? To straighten.
you get something back to wait or how it's supposed to be before. That's correction. You understand me? Hallelujah. To put back how, to put it back the way it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 12, verse 12. Hebrews 12, 12. The same word is used. He said, therefore, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. You can just my you use the word lift up. Hallelujah. The word strengthen. You understand? Strengthen the hands which knee which hang down and the feeble, meaning to put it back the way it's supposed to be, to straighten, to put it normal, to get it back normal. Hallelujah. So in teaching, you find this too. Hallelujah. When the word is accurately taught, you are corrected. You understand? You find correction in the teaching of the word. You find correction in our thinking. You know, Jesus did the same thing in Luke. Hallelujah. He did the same thing in Luke when he taught them. Hallelujah. The Bible says he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He got to them in Mark chapter 16, verse 14. The Bible says he upbraided them, meaning he rebuked them. Hallelujah. He corrected them. Glory to God. So in the teaching of the word, you find correction. Do you understand? In the teaching of the word, you find correction. Very important. You find correction in the teaching of the word. Glory to God. Then he now says, for instruction in righteousness. That word, instruction in righteousness, paideia and diakosune, is the word that means instruction in righteousness, paideia and diakosune. The word instruction is the word paideia, P-A-I-D-E-I-A, paideia. Let's look at how it is used first. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6, 4. Ephesians 6, 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4. He says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Did you see that? Bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord. Look at that there. He said, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Look at Hebrews. He said, but bring them up in the what? Training and admonition of the Lord. That is the word training. By their training. Old King James will put it as nurture. Training. Look at Hebrews. But in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Verse 5. It says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. So if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Hallelujah. But if you are without chastening, of which you have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Hallelujah. See, furthermore, we have an human father. I mean, furthermore, we have had human fathers who correct us and we pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily in the readily be in subjection to the Lord of the Spirit and live? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look at that word quickly. Now, if you look at the two scriptures we read, you discover something similar. There is a relationship in the two scriptures we read where paideia is used for chastening, used for nurture or training. You know, you find two things similar. You find in that context, or within the context, you find a father, you find what? A son or a child, right? You see that in those two scriptures. That is to say, every time the word paideia is used, it shows a relationship between father and child for nurturing, for training up, or for upbringing, growth, training for growth. Do you understand me? To find those things within those contexts. When you look at the word Hebrews 12 verse 5, just recently I heard somebody speak about it and say, the Lord flogs people. No, that is what it is. He said, He spared the rod and spoiled the child. Do you understand? You spare the rod, you spoil the child. No, it's the flock. Let's look at the word chastening. You understand? Chastening, because, you know, we'll find, because that is what we'll find, or that is what we'll have in the teaching of the word. You understand? Chastening. Training, upbringing. Hallelujah. You understand? That's what we'll find. Look at the word. Hebrews 12 verse 5. When the writer of Hebrews was writing, he reads from Proverbs. Let's look at that. The verse 5 of Hebrews, it says, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? Now, when he says this, and he read, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, he's quoting Proverbs 3:11. Proverbs 3:11. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Let's go to Proverbs 3:11. Okay. So meaning, as they will be reading this in the synagogue or in the gathering, what would they have with them? What would they have with them? I'm talking, what would they have with them? Proverbs. Do you understand me? So the moment they read this, Proverbs comes to mind. Do you understand? Okay, let's go to Proverbs. Let's see it in Proverbs chapter 3. Are you there? Verse 11. It says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Did you see? It's called, he lifted his. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the Father, the Son in whom he delights. Did you see that? Hallelujah. You can't find the word scourge as translated in Hebrews. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Now let's look at that word in Hebrews, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. You know the word chastening is the Greek word musar. Musar in Hebrew. Musar. M-U-S-U-S-A-R. M-U-S-A-R. Musar. Is used, look at something, is used 50 times in Old Testament Hebrew writing. 50 times in Old Testament Hebrew writing. Is used 30 times in the book of Hebrews. Used 30 times in the book of Hebrews. Meaning we have more than 50% of it used in the book of Hebrews. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You find this in, let's look at this. Let's take down this reference before we look at how it's used in the book of Proverbs. Let's take down this reference. Deuteronomy 1 verse 2. Deuteronomy 11 2, sorry. Job 5 verse 3, verse 7. Psalms 50 verse 17. Let's go to Proverbs quickly. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1. Make sure you're with your Bible because we're going to go through some scriptures now. We're going to go through 30 scriptures. Okay, from Proverbs. Are you in Proverbs? Chapter 1. Let's see how the word chastening is used. Okay? Proverbs 1 verse 2. It says to know... Okay, let's start from verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know the wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. You understand me? That is the word instruction. Chastening. Instruction. Verse 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity is the word instruction. Verse 7 is used again as instruction. He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay, we'll go again to chapter 4, verse 1. Say, hear my son, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. Instruction. Chapter 4, verse 13. Say, take firm hold of instruction, do not let them go. Keep her, for she is your wife. That means she's your life.
That's the wife. Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. She's your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Chapter 5, verse 12. This one wants to see how the word is used.
So that's why you don't see me explain.
Verse 12. And say, I have hated instruction. My heart despised correction. Instruction again. Verse 23. He shall die for lack of instruction. And in greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Chapter 6, verse 23, immediately. He says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproof of instructions are the ways of life. Chapter 8, verse 10. It says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. All the while we've been looking at it, we're seeing it is what? Instruction, right? Instruction. We could go ahead and ahead. You just find, is the word used as instruction. The whole 30 times is used in the book of the book of Proverbs, is used as instructions. Now, what does that tell you? This is what it calls chastening in chapter 3, verse 11. But apart from chapter 3, verse 11, he uses it as what instructions also. What does that tell you as a Bible student? That when it talks about chastening, listen, when it talks about chastening, it is done with words. Do you understand me? Chastening is done with words. Meaning spirit is not with cane, is not with rod. Do you understand? It's with words. Do you understand me? Not words like a Yoruba man will use insults to wake up the child. Do you understand? No. But words as of what? The scriptures, explaining the scriptures. Do you understand me? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So, chastening implies correction with word, or training with words, not with cane. We see another word again, correction. In that Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11. He uses another word, correction. Do not detest his correction. The Hebrews will call it a rebuke. Now, the word correction is the word tokeka. Tokeka. T-O-K-E-C-H-E-H. Tokeka. In Hebrew. It implies to reprove or rebuke as a means of training.
Yes, sir.
It implies to reprove or rebuke as a means of training.
It's used 28 times in Old Testament Hebrew. Used 16 times in Proverbs. So Solomon uses this word very well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay? Let's take on the words.
Proverbs 1:23-25. Look at verse 23 of Roman or Proverbs 1. He says, "Turn at my rebuke." Let's go there. He says, "Turn at my rebuke," which is my correction. "Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." Do you see that? Look at verse 25. He said, "Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also laugh at your calamity." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Very important is the fact that the rebuke he's talking about is with words also. Do you see that? Is with words also. You find the same thing used again. You find the same word used in verse 30. Verse 30, chapter 5, verse 12, 6, verse 23, and so on. So it's very important. When it says "turn at my rebuke," what does it mean? When it says "turn at my rebuke," what does it mean? Well, if you look at it in the light of the epistles, right? Remember, he says, "Turn at my rebuke." Then what will happen? "Surely I will pour out my spirit on you." So, did you understand that? So, what it means is that accept my rebuke, right? "Turn at my rebuke" will mean accept my words, right? And that would mean believe in the gospel. Do you understand that? Is at the point of believing the gospel that what happens? That will receive the spirit, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let's continue. So, the correction is via words. Also, the correction is via words. Go back again to chapter 3, verse 11. Let's take the last one. Now, he uses another word, verse 12. He said, "For whom the Lord loves, he corrects." That word corrects is the word yakach. Yakach. It's what that implies to convene or to convict or convince. Those two together. So with that, we'll have a better understanding of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. So when it says in Hebrews 12, verse 5, let's go back to Hebrews 12. So with this, when it says in verse 5, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." It's talking about what? Spiritual growth, right? He's talking about, do not despise the correction, the training of the Lord. Not be discouraged when you are what? Rebuked by him, when you are corrected by him, right? Right? When you are corrected by him. "For whom the Lord loves, he what? He corrects." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "And scourges every son whom he loves." Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, look at verse 7. He said, if you endure training, right? God deals with you as with sons. "For what son is there whom the father does not chasten?" I said, if you endure chastening, God deals with you. He's not, listen to this. He's not saying God deals with you as to son because he corrects correction. Then if you don't receive correction, God doesn't deal with you as son. So your correction is what makes you son. No. Do you understand it? What it actually reads is this. It says, It is for discipline.
I actually had to read this.
I actually had to do a whole lot of study on this.
Jonathan,
this is verse 7 mostly. He said, it is for discipline that you submit to correction. So, whether he now said, God's dealing with you is as sons. Do you understand me? So, God's dealing with us is as sons, irrespective of the first statement. Do you understand? So, God's dealing with us is as sons. So, for the sake of discipline, you what? You submit to correction. That's how the Amplified puts it somehow. And also, in the original, that's how it is actually read. Do you understand? That is read. So, it is for discipline that you submit to correction. It's for discipline. For growth. For, as a matter of training, you submit to correction. So we see that, let's round up this session quickly. We see that it is in teaching of the word. We see that in the teaching of the word, we are instructed. We are instructed. And in the instruction, there is correction. In the instruction, there is correction. There is rebuke for wrongdoings. Do you understand? There's rebuke for wrongdoings. So the word, listen to this. This is very vital. The word that teaches you must correct you. Rebuke you for spiritual growth. The word that teaches you must correct you. You are not saying, I'm receiving the teaching of the Lord. I am not accepting the correction. You understand? That is rebellion. You understand? So the word that teaches you must correct you, rebuke you. And all this is your spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we'll stop here and we'll come back and we'll continue the next 5 minutes.